Okay, you guys ready? You both have done this before. Don't forget your challenges. Don't forget to burn all clicky pens.
Oh, come on now.
The points those out, are, it's good.
Those are fighting clicks, sir.
We should start penalizing people 1 point for each time we hear their pen click.
Yep.
It's time to drop the puck on the Sports Trivia Face-Off. That's right. You've downloaded Season 2, Episode 23 of the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Dan and Byron are here as our contestants. We're also here with the best co-host in the world, Aaron. Aaron, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We had some technical difficulties and had to call somebody in from the bullpen, but I think we're ready to go here. We have Dan and Byron, both returning guests. Byron, could you remind our listening audience who you are, please?
Yeah, I'm a Texas transplant. I live in Austin, grew up in Southern California. Fan of most New York teams and the San Francisco Giants, as you can see. Just happy to be back.
All right, good to have you back. And Dan, the man with the golden pipes, how are you, sir?
I'm a little less golden today, but I'll be all right. I'm originally from Minneapolis, Minnesota, now live outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, and I maintain all of my Minnesota sports fandom, and I am cautiously optimistic about the Twins this year, which means they'll blow it up in September or something, and we'll probably blow a 15-game lead or something like that.
Well, whatever you do, don't be like Marcus and talk up about how great your team is doing right now, because the Mariners went in the tank right after he did that. So
he did that about four games into the season too, right?
He definitely had a big sample size to work with. All right, before we get started with these guys, let's go over the rules.
Here are the rules for the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Each player will get a chance to answer five questions in a category they choose. If they answer correctly, they get 10 points. If not, their opponent can answer on the rebound for 5 points. Twice per game, a player may challenge his opponent to answer a question first for 10 points, but the opponent can answer correctly for 15 points. Two intermission questions are worth up to 20 points, and we will explain the shootout once we get there.
Byron, I'm going to give you the choice of calling either heads or tails on the flip of the coin. Which would you like?
Let's do tails.
Hey, Google, flip a coin.
You got tails.
Tails it is. You get your choice to either play or defer the first period categories. That also determines what will happen in the second period. And whoever's trailing will get to go first in the third period. Your categories, Byron, are Ice, Ice, Baby. Can anyone say the word hardwood without laughing?
Nope.
And Vegemite sandwiches.
I'll play it. Let's do hardwood.
Nice.
That's what she said. Can anyone say the word hardwood without laughing? These are five questions about the recent NBA playoffs.
Right on. Oh.
Number one, which Western Conference team went to 7 games in 2 different series against the Spurs and the Blazers?
That's the Thunder.
The Thunder is incorrect. Dan?
Well, there aren't too many teams that made the playoffs, only 8 of them from the West. So is that the Nuggets?
It is the Nuggets for a 5-point rebound. Good pull. Hmm. Yes. Number two, after winning the NBA G League titles in 2011 with the Iowa Energy and 2013 with the Rio Grande Valley Vipers, what man became an assistant coach for the Raptors in 2013 and took over the head coaching position last year?
Nick Nurse.
Nick Nurse is correct for 10 points. He replaced Dwayne Casey, who was fired by the Raptors right after he was named NBA Coach of the Year. So I guess they knew what they were doing after all. Number three, name the 2 8 seeds in the Western and Eastern Conference. One played against the Bucks, and the other played against the Warriors.
We've got the Clippers and the Nets.
Clippers and Nets is incorrect. Dan?
The Clippers is one of them. The other one... Oh, man. Was it the Magic?
Clippers and Magic is incorrect. It was the Clippers and the Detroit Pistons.
Okay.
Number four, when he only grabbed 9 rebounds in game 2 of the finals, what player ended his streak of consecutive triple doubles at 3?
Draymond Green.
Draymond Green is absolutely correct for another 10 points. Number five, which major television network broadcast the NBA finals this year?
ABC.
ABC is correct for another 10 points.
Nice.
That takes us to Dan. Dan, you have between Ice Ice Baby and Vegemite sandwiches.
So what, hockey or Australian sports? That's a great, great, great choice to have. Well, I'll just smile and take the Vegemite sandwich.
Aww.
These are indeed 5 questions about Australia and sports. Number one, what shape is an Australian rules football field?
I'm going to go ahead and say an oval.
Oval is correct for 10 points.
That was a lucky guess, but...
Number two, the world's largest cricket ground, nicknamed the G, is the 10th largest stadium in the world. In what city is it located?
I think that I heard that this was in Melbourne. So I'm going to say Melbourne.
Melbourne is correct. MCG, the Melbourne Cricket Ground. It has a capacity of just over 100,000 people. And it's definitely on my bucket list of places to see in the realm of sports. Number three. What 7-foot number one overall draft pick in the 2005 NBA draft was born in Melbourne?
Is that Bogut, Andrew Bogut?
It is Andrew Bogut. For another 10 points, you're 3 for 3. Number four, driving for Mercedes, Valtteri Bottas of Finland won what Formula One event that kicked off the 2019 season?
I have no idea. I'm going to not say anything so I don't give away anything. I'm going to
Alrighty,
say
Byron.
Pass.
I believe it's the Australian Grand Prix.
Australian Grand Prix is correct for a 5-point rebound.
And that would be why I did not challenge.
And number five for Dan. In 2018, Australian cricketers Steve Smith and David Warner were banned for 12 months domestically and internationally because of Sandpaper Gate. What were Smith and Warner doing to get banned?
Well, I'm guessing it had something to do with sandpaper.
Good catch.
That's a guess. I mean, if it's anything like baseball, they were probably tampering with the ball. So I'll say they were roughing up the ball.
They were tampering with balls. That is correct for another 10 points.
Can you say that without laughing, by the way?
I was going to say that goes right along with the hardwood question, doesn't it?
That was also going to be my joke. I'm very proud of us.
A dirty mind is a terrible thing to waste.
And Byron's just disappointed in all of
this. Let's see, the episode where we all go for the same dirty joke. There's part of our blurb.
Yeah, the one with the balls joke.
That takes us to our first intermission, where we are going to ask you to name all-time leaders for franchises. And it'll become apparent how this works once I ask the questions. Number one, who is the all-time leader for points for the New England Patriots? Number two, who is the all-time leader in RBIs for the Red Sox? Number three, who is the all-time points leader for the Houston Rockets? And number four, who is the all-time points leader for the San Jose Sharks? And while these guys think about those leaders, here is our point leading promo.
Oh, good one.
Just a quick reminder to support us at patreon.com/sportstriviafaceoff so we can continue to offer great sports trivia.
You should definitely donate money because it helps us with things. I'm bad at this.
You're right. You are. Yeah. Sorry. We are back with the guys for their answers for the all-time leaders in points or RBIs for the following franchises. Number one, we'll start with Dan. Who is the all-time leader in points for the New England Patriots?
I thought it had to be a kicker, so I went Gostkowski.
And Byron?
I went Gostkowski as well.
It is Steven Gostkowski. Byron, number two, all-time RBI leader for the Red Sox.
Had to go with a lifelong Red Sox player. I went Ted Williams.
And Dan?
I went a little later. I went Yastrzemski.
It is Carl Yastrzemski for 5 points for Dan.
Good pull. That was my next choice.
Yeah, well, Williams was my next choice. So,
moving away from Boston, who is the all-time leader in points for the Houston Rockets, Dan?
I think that has to be Olajuwon. So,
and Byron?
I said Hakeem as well.
It is definitely Hakeem Olajuwon. And number four, Byron, the all-time leader in points for the San Jose Sharks.
The oldest man in the world, Joe Thornton.
And Dan?
I also said Joe Thornton.
The answer is actually Patrick Marleau, who is actually older than Joe Thornton, so that would make him the oldest man in the world. I don't know if he knows he has that title or not, but
you may have just asked me, may as well have just asked me name a San Jose Shark, because that's where I went with that one.
You did good, though. You named one. Which
I did. I named one.
A lot of people can do.
That's right. After the first intermission question, it is 60 for Dan, 45 for Byron. And we turn it over for the second period to Aaron.
All right. Going into the second period, Dan, you can choose from one of the following categories. Category one, get your hair did. Category two, crisscross will make you wanna. And category three, I am too white for this hip hop music.
I am too white. So let's go with that.
All right. These are five questions about famous athletes with white last names. Just to get it out of the way, I'm going to need the first name for any question that requires a name.
All right.
Question number one. Even though it seems like they win every year now, who is the first Sooner quarterback to win the Heisman Trophy?
It was about 15 years ago, and you're not going to accept white, so...
correct.
Jason White.
Son of a bitch.
Sorry.
Byron may have tipped my hand. Jason White is correct. Oh, all right. Whew, that was exhausting. Number two. Who did the Atlanta Falcons select with the 27th pick of the 2005 NFL draft? Once again, first name is required.
Who they took that year? I'm going to have to think what was... Don't. Sorry. Roddy White.
Yeah, Roddy White.
He completely slipped my memory for a second.
I put a clock on you.
I'm sorry. They'll tell you, this is how I do best, too. I need to think through things. I'm terrible at the blitz stuff.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Number three, I'm not going to need a first name because I'm going to give you the first name. Shaun White has won three of the last four Olympic gold medals in what specific event?
Snowboarding.
In a specific event.
Oh, the halfpipe.
Correct. Oop, 10 more points. Number four, what man was drafted by the Celtics out of the University of Kansas in 1969, won two championships with Boston in the 70s, and has had his number 10 retired by the Celtics? First name required.
I'm not certain I'm going to come up with this one. I'm going to pass on it.
All right. Byron, do you know?
The only name that's coming to mind, and I don't even know if it's... No, it's a football player. I don't know. Daryl White?
Daryl White is incorrect. We were looking for JoJo White.
Okay.
Whose number 15 has been retired by KU as well. Number five, former Giant and Cardinal Bill White served as the president of what from 1989 to 1994? He replaced Bart Giamatti and was himself replaced by Leonard S. Coleman.
President of the National League.
That is correct.
That was a 50-50. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. That was exciting. I was like, what's he going to say? All right. Ford Frick. Ford Frick held the position from 1934 to 1951. And once the AL and NL merged into the MLB in 99, the position has been held in an honorary capacity by Phillies part owner Bill Giles. And that has been your Ryan K. Myers flavor text. Back to Byron.
Brought to you by...
Back to Byron, your two categories to choose from are Get Your Hair Did or Crisscross Will Make You Wanna.
Let's do Crisscross.
All right. These are five questions about jumping in sports. And this song has been in my head all morning. Number one, in 1988, what American woman set the still current Olympic record in the long jump at 7.4 meters or 3.25 inches past 24 feet?
Is that Jackie Joyner Kersee?
Sure is.
Oh, sweet.
For 10 points. Fun fact, at the time of writing this, the Wikipedia listing for women's world record long jump is held by Arya Stark at 767 feet and 8.5 inches. Number two. At the 2005 NFL Combine, UNC's Gerald Sensabaugh set a still current record of 46 inches in what event?
The vertical jump test, the set jump, whatever, you know, just jump up and hit the...
That is correct. The vertical jump.
It's officially called the jump up and hit the...
And then you make a motion with your hands.
Yep. Or... Yep.
Yeah.
Sensabaugh once blocked three punts in a single game in the NCAA. Wow. Number three. At the 2000 Sydney Olympics, who jumped over 7'2" center Frederick Weiss in what the French media later called le dunk de la mort, or the dunk of death?
Yeah, he put, you know, an inappropriate part of his body on the guy's head. That was Vince Carter.
That is correct. Carter's 2000 slam dunk contest performance is still the greatest of all time. Fight me. Just so we're clear, the me in that sentence is Ryan at sportstriviafaceoff.com. Mm-hmm. Not me. Number four. In 1970, Bobby Orr scored what has since become known as the goal in hockey lore when he scored a Stanley Cup winning goal, whereafter he jumped and was tripped by Noel Picard of what opposing team?
Sorry, Brent. The Blues.
It is the St. Louis Blues. The flavor text, which I believe I'm obligated to read, says, this was the third season in a row the Blues were swept in the Stanley Cup final.
Get it all out of your system. Wait,
24
now.
24 hours, Brent. 24 hours.
Listen, I just do what I'm told.
Yeah.
That's a lie. Number five. In Madden 19, what button causes the ball carrier to perform a hurdle? I will accept either the PlayStation or Xbox button.
I think... So I have a PlayStation. I think it's the diamond, the top button.
That is incorrect. Dan?
I'm going to guess it's one of the trigger buttons. Let's go L2.
Also incorrect. The answer I have here is triangle or Y.
Didn't I say the triangle?
You said diamond, didn't you?
You said diamond.
Oh, so I'm staring at it, too. I'm staring at the controller. Stupid. The top button. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm a Nintendo kid, so I don't have any idea what the buttons are on those other controllers.
Yeah, that was just a stupid brain fart.
Ah, it happens. All right. That concludes the second period. Going into the second intermission, how do you guys feel about NASCAR?
Did I say I live outside of Charlotte?
Your second intermission is... Name the five winners of the NASCAR Cup Series since 2014. So I'm looking for the five most recent winners of the NASCAR Cup Series. And I don't have a clever lead into our promo like Brent did, so I'm just going to say, here comes a promo.
A pedal to the metal promo.
God damn it, you're on fire today.
En fuego.
Planning your own trivia event? Visit the Trivia Night Guy at TriviaNightGuy.com to purchase trivia questions in all categories for an event that will give your audience a challenging and fun night of trivia.
All right, we are back. We've been talking about NASCAR. Here's a question about NASCAR. Name the five winners of the NASCAR Series Cup since 2014. Byron, which five drivers did you write down?
I went with the five drivers that I know. Logano, Keselowski, Truex Jr., Hamlin and Johnson.
Lucky Johnson. All right. And Dan?
All right. Joey Logano, known as Sliced Bread. Mm-hmm. Martin Truex Jr., mm-hmm. Jimmy Johnson, mm-hmm. Kyle Busch, and mm-hmm. Kevin Harvick.
Cool. So rather than just repeat what Dan just said, I'm just going to tell y'all that Dan got them all on the nose because he lives in Charlotte. And this isn't really fair. Going into the third period, Dan has 121, Byron has 100, but there's still plenty of game to play. Brent, back to you.
Byron, you have your choice of categories in the third period between that's offensive, don't get so defensive, and a third category about hippies.
Stu, that's offensive.
That's offensive. These are five questions about offensive athletes, and these are offensive, not offensive. Although individual tastes may vary. Number one, what current Baltimore Raven is the most accurate place kicker in NFL history so far? the only kicker with a completion percentage over 90%?
Hook 'em horns, Tucker.
Justin Tucker is correct for 10 points. Number two, in what city did Wilt Chamberlain famously score 100 points in a single game?
Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Well done. For another 10 points, he broke the single game points record earlier in the season with 78 and finished with the season average of a 50.4 points per game. Jeez. I don't know much about basketball, but I hear that's good.
That's number a lot. That's a lot.
Number three, in 1956, who was the most recent person to earn a Major League Triple Crown, leading both the American League and the National League?
Dang it. I'll just go with Mantle.
You went with the correct answer very well. He had 52 dingers, 130 ribbies, and batted 353.
Wow.
Number four. On February the 7th, 1976, Darryl Sittler set the NHL record for most points scored in a single game. Within one either way, how many points did he earn?
I'm going to go with a nice round 10.
10 is the exact number on the nose, 6 goals and 4 assists against the Bruins. And right now I'm happy to report anybody scoring a lot of goals against the Bruins.
That's one of the few hockey facts that I know cold is that 10-point thing. So that would have been nice to have gotten that one. But
there was a point in time on NHL Network when they were just starting up and they didn't have a whole lot of promos, and they would run this 2 minutes commercial break about Darryl Sittler's 10 points every hour.
As montages go, it's not bad.
Yeah. After about the 10th time, it loses its luster, though.
That's fair.
Number five, retiring from international play shortly after Germany's 2014 FIFA World Cup victory, what man has scored the most goals in World Cup play with 16?
I'll use my challenge.
Dan, you have been challenged.
I have a... Oh, man. I remember when the U.S. played Germany in the last World Cup we were in. And I was worried about this guy. We needed to either win or tie that game to move on. It's in my head. It is there.
Byron is going back into the mind palace.
Can we put a clock on him?
Close.
Miroslav Klose, that is correct. For a 15-point refuted challenge.
If you put a clock on me, I'm just going to walk away, I guess. Because I don't think
Byron, you still did pretty well in that category, though.
Yeah.
Dan, we are to you. We have Don't Get So Defensive and a third category about hippies.
Let's take the hippies.
Let's take the hippies. These are 5 questions about politically active sports figures. Number one, in 2004, Carlos Delgado made news when he refused to stand for what song, which has recently come back into controversial news in regards to the Yankees and the Philadelphia Flyers.
Do they stand when they... Because I know they play God Bless America, too. Do they stand for that? That's the... That would make more sense as far as being in the news. So I'm going to say, yeah, God Bless America.
God damn it.
God Bless America is correct for 10 points. Byron, you need to start showing some emotion a little bit here.
I said he has 2 challenges left. He knows that, right?
Yeah. That song by Irving Berlin is most famously sung by Kate Smith, who also recorded some pretty racist stuff back in the day, leading to the song's cancellation at those teams' events. And they even went so far as to remove the statue of Kate Smith outside Wells Fargo Center where the Flyers play. Number two, what pair of men that stood next to Peter Norman after a famous race were also pallbearers at his funeral in Australia?
Carlos. Smith and Carlos.
John Carlos and Tommy Smith, that is correct for another 10 points. Norman faced a lot of backlash in his native Australia and was blackballed, and he also gave Carlos and Smith his black gloves so that they could do the salute. Number three, on Cinco de Mayo 2010, Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver protested the state's new immigration law by changing what for a playoff game against the Spurs?
Didn't he change the name of the Suns to the Spanish equivalent?
I'll give you that. He changed them on the team's jerseys to say Los Suns. And the team they all agreed to wear them.
Except for Los Suns is not Spanish for the Suns, but
yes,
we'll go with it anyway.
You do what you can. That.
Number four, the 1971 Supreme Court ruling Clay versus United States dealt with what issue?
71, is that Title IX?
That is incorrect. Byron?
I don't know if this is too early, but Clay versus United States. Fuck, I don't even think it's the right name, but the only thing I can think of is free agency.
Neither is correct. The answer is refusing the draft. Clay in this case was Cassius Clay.
Oh, okay.
It was his application to reject the draft because of being a conscientious objector. It's a word I never can say. And number five, falling in mid to late September in the heat of the pennant races, what Los Angeles Dodgers sat out the Jewish holy day of Yom Kippur in 2004, the same day he donated his day's pay to a charity for survivors of the September 11th attacks?
The only guess I'm going to have for that would be Sandy Koufax.
That is incorrect. Byron?
Sean Green.
Sean Green is correct.
Did you say a year? Rebound. I'm sorry. Did you say a year on there? And I just completely 2004. Missed it. Yeah, that would not be Sandy Koufax then.
No. Although if he was at his job, if he still has a job, you know, maybe he sat out that day. I don't know.
Listen to the question.
LTFQ.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
After the third period, we have a close game. Dan has 166. Byron has 145. So within the 20 points of the shootout minimum value, we're going to hear how the shootout works. And then we will hear from Aaron.
In the shootout, both players take a shot at being the closest to the correct answer of three questions. If either player is closer on more questions than the other, they get 20 points. If a player is closer on all three questions, they get 50 points. If a player is within 10% of the correct answer on all three questions, they are awarded an extra 100-point hat trick bonus.
All right, this is all so very exciting. Gentlemen, your three questions are, number one, in inches, the height of Steph Curry. Number two, the number of PGA Tour victories by Vijay Singh. Three, the current age in years of former NFL head coach Marty Schottenheimer. And while they're doing math, here is another promo.
If you enjoy the Sports Trivia Face-Off, please consider contributing on Patreon at patreon.com/sportstriviafaceoff. And if you're already a contributor, thanks.
All right, number one in inches, the height of Steph Curry. Dan, what did you say?
I said 75.
And Byron?
I said 73. I thought he was 6'1", but I think that's Allen Iverson.
Yep, he is in fact 75 inches tall. That is a lot of inches. So, Dan, shut up. He's giggling next to me.
Oh, that was amazing. I thought it and he giggled.
So Dan picks up that win. Number two, number of PGA Tour victories earned by Vijay Singh. Dan.
I said around 30. I mean, not around 30, but around number 30.
Okay. And Byron.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he has enough victories to keep his tour card forever, but he also played against Tiger Woods a lot, so I just put 25.
All right. You both undershot by a little bit. The correct answer is 34.
Fuck.
So.
Good game, Dan.
Dan picks up the win there. And let's see if Dan gets the victory lap. The current age in years of former NFL head coach Marty Schottenheimer. Dan, what'd you say?
I said 73.
And Byron, what'd you say?
And I said 74.
Good news for you, Byron. The correct answer is 75.
Oh!
So you prevented him from getting the sweep.
I only lost by a few fewer points.
Yep. So
still
Dan
a pretty close game.
Yeah, no, very close game. Dan wins the shootout, picks up 20 points. Final score, Dan 186, Byron 145. Hard-fought game, gentlemen. Y'all knew a lot of stuff. Nice job.
Good game, Byron. That was good.
I knew I was in for it when you pulled Jason White.
Yeah, that could very easily have gone the other way.
Yes, absolutely. That's probably one of the highest combined scores that I can remember without somebody getting the hat trick bonus.
Yeah.
Just a lot of impressive knowledge out of both of you guys. Thank you very much for joining us on a Sunday morning. And Dan, thank you very much for coming in out of the bullpen. I appreciate it. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
No, just remember I'm there in the bullpen if you need me. I'm usually around at this point in time. So still waiting for Scott Barber to make a appearance on here. So a little peer pressure for you, Scott. Get on here.
And Byron, anything you'd like to say in closing?
Great game. I was, hoping you'd miss one of the, miss or challenge some of those earlier ones, but man, you pulled them and good work to you. Good game.
Great game.
All right. All righty. For Dan and Byron and Aaron, I am Brent, and we will see you next time you download.
Go Blues.
Go Blues. This has been the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Thank you very much for listening. The Sports Trivia Face-Off is hosted by Brent Bollmeyer and Aaron Barkley. Questions are written by Ryan Clefcorn-Myers, and the Sports Trivia Face-Off is recorded, edited, and produced by Brent Bollmeyer. I was actually going to go to a race like 3 years ago just because I'd never been, and everybody said, well, going to a race is boring. I was like, well, I got free tickets. I'll go myself and just see what it's all about. And I ended up in the hospital instead. So,
not because of the race, right?
Not because of the race, but it was a slight downgrade in fun.
You didn't have to wear noise-canceling headphones at the hospital, though, so.
It's true.
You never heard my roommate.